good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. Sorry we're coming out a little late. We had a problem with technical problems at the station. Tonight's show, The Shadow Continues, Reclaiming All the Power That We've Projected, Placed and Given to Others. And welcome, Ronnie, my wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Hi, good evening, good evening. Glad to be here again.
Well, another...
Let's do the shadow.
Say it again?
I said, let's do that shadow.
Let's do the shadow. I agree with you, Ronnie. Well, this has been a really fascinating week for me, and I have been in major process and still am. So, these shows are so fascinating. Hopefully I'll live through all of them. So just to kind of give you a little bit of humor to start out with, tonight when it was time for me to start writing the show, they just switched off my television, put on the Sacred Sounds station, and the music started playing, you know, which was my cue to get going. I really got a big...
Did you get
Ronnie, honey, you're kicking in and out.
Uh-oh. Okay, is this better?
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, you know, I want to talk about this because it's been such a fascinating week since last Thursday. The shadow process continues to be the most fascinating opportunity to reclaim all the lost parts of ourselves. It's not always easy and sometimes confusing and frustrating. It activates anger, fear, dread, exhaustion, all kinds of symptoms as we explore it. And, of course, the big question is why. Now, we've got two things going on right now, guys. We've got all this energy that's being downloaded onto the planet, which of itself is difficult to manage for all of us. But then as we start plowing around in the shadow, we're touching into things that were too difficult to understand when they happened. But we really are ready now to unravel the puzzle of emotions and agreements and projections that we've created to play out our dramas on the planet. So please, everybody, celebrate your courage on this. This is the path of a hero. You know, I say this over and over again because, you know, we're really making a big map here, and we're all making it together. So we're going to talk about some of the ways that we've given our power away. And as always, you know, when the energy begins to build for a show, information just comes flying at me. I mean, it's once I know what direction we're going, or have at least some feeling, things just start showing up in my inbox. I'm going to read an excerpt from Debbie Ford's newsletter. It's called The Exhaustion of People-Pleasing. And Ronnie, I told you about this earlier. This is just a great piece. There's an affliction quietly and insidiously affecting us that crosses all lines of age, gender, and race. It began when we were young and learned that in order to fit in with our families, we had to ignore our own needs, stay silent, follow along, and give away our power. As adults, the syndrome continues to rob us of our ability to ask directly for what we need and want, drives us to violate ourselves and our own integrity. When we're in its grips, we contort ourselves to fit in, to belong, and to ensure that our status as a good person. If in a moment of desperation and powerlessness, we forsake ourselves in order to avoid confrontation and the mere possibility of rejection.
Mm.
This, yes.
Sounds familiar.
This is the disease of trying to be liked, being nice, seeking acceptance, and trying to please others as a strategy, as a way to feel safe in the world and worthy in our own skin. What is even more important to recognize is that seeking the approval of others is a way to avoid how deeply we disapprove of ourselves. The feared rejection of another is actually an outward reflection of how we have already rejected certain aspects of ourselves.
Hmm.
I encourage people to acknowledge the cost of their limiting beliefs and behaviors. When it comes to people-pleasing, the cost is so pervasive and damaging. The moment we try to please another and abandon our own truth for theirs, we essentially hand our power to them, violate our own integrity, cut ourselves off from our inner wisdom, and at least for a while disconnect from our ability to love and nurture ourselves. We may do this with our children, spouses, employers, friends, and society at large. When being a good girl or a good boy becomes a way of life, we can be sure that the exhaustion will accumulate. Resentments will build. Desperation and neediness will increase and will travel deeper into the land of victim consciousness. I just don't think that could be any more profound if it tried.
No, it's very sad and so real for so many.
So I'm going to talk about my own process this week, and as my life's an open book anymore. Mother's Day is an interesting time of the year, and, you know, I'm not much into holidays at all. I really don't take any of them very seriously. I don't remember when they are anyway. But this year, it triggered something deep in me. And I started going into process last week. Some things happened between my daughter and I that triggered something very deeply inside of me. And it's very interesting because I talk about her with a great deal of respect, and, you know, she's a huge reality creator and on and on and on. But she's the one person in my life that, for whatever reason, she doesn't show me respect, and that's always really hurt me. And I found that I was always trying to earn her love, and I never could do enough. And for whatever reason, it started triggering, and I started getting angry. And I thought, oh, no, I'm going into process here. I can feel it coming. And I was fuming and crying and reviewing my life with her and realizing that it had been this way her entire life, that no matter what I did, it was never good enough, never enough. I always felt judged by her. I always felt that there was really nothing. And it was very interesting. It began even when she was born. She was, as a baby, she was difficult for me. And I've often said to my son, I throw up my hands and say, I'll never get this one right. I don't know what the problem is. I've never been able to figure it out. And now this is not about her. I want you to understand this is really not about my daughter. It's about me, because this is true for all of us. But I knew this was my trigger. This was the big one, and I was hitting rage. And I'm not a rageful person, so this is really big. I was actually excited to be able to touch into this. And the fact that I was continuing to try to earn her love, now I didn't get this article from Debbie until today, but I was in process with these very issues. And I was shocked at how deep this was for me, and how really sad, and how really angry I was. And so I was stomping around over all the hours and hours, hundreds and hundreds of hours I'd spent on the phone with her as she went through her career changes, and encouraging her and helping to co-create with her whatever she wanted and holding the energy. And then all of a sudden, I could see it energetically. And I realized that literally, I had taken responsibility for creating her reality with her.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such a shock to me. And I thought, wait a minute, why did I do that? Well, somehow I believed, whatever reason, that I needed to do that. And then I kept looking at it, and I thought, okay, well, I have bookends here. I have a mother who treated me exactly the same way, except she was physically abusive as well. And I thought, well, it's a learned response. This is the way I respond to angry people. But I don't tolerate that from anyone. No one except my daughter. And I really mulled this one over. And I sat down and talked to my son about it as well. And I said, okay, why? Why would I continue to do this? And, you know, we debated it and kind of kicked it around. And I said, okay, this is it. I get it now. I'm going to separate my energy out. Now, please bear in mind, this does not mean I don't love her. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to love her. She's my daughter. But I pulled my energy back. And the reason I did and what I got loud and clear, first of all, because I needed to. Secondly, is that as parents, and we all do this at some level, we want the best for our children. And because we don't all understand energy, now, Veronica, you do.
Mm-hmm.
But at a deep level, if your child, no matter what age they are, at a subtle level, if they know that your power is helping create for them and co-creating for them, they can end up resenting you. And I thought, well, that's really profound. Okay, well, I'm pulling my power back.
That's because they're never allowed to be on their own, is that right?
At a subtle level, I believe that we know each other. We know each other's power. And, you know, we've talked about this. You know, I have done a great job of detaching from my son. I love my son. But I had to detach because it was too deep of an emotional bond, and I realized that there are things that he needs to do, and it may not be easy for me to see or witness them. And so I have to love him enough to detach and get my agenda out of there so that I don't need him to be a certain way for me to be okay. He needs to follow his own path. And but when I looked at the energy and the abuse with my mother, and I thought, okay, there's some kind of a big setup going on here, and I really don't know what it is, but it keeps taking me deeper. And I could feel, again, the rage coming up. Now, all week long, I've been working with people, and we've been taking power back. We did this with you, Veronica, from different mm-hmm. family members.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is hold the energy and bring in each family member and allow you to see where that family member is holding your energy. Now, we can give our power away through love. We can give it away through need. We can give it away through projection. It can be stripped from us. We can give it away because of our fear of a family member or jealousy or anger.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fascinating for me to see where people were holding other people's power.
And it was fascinating for me to see where the different members of the family held my power in ways I would least have expected, and how much more of it some held than others.
Yeah, give some examples, Veronica, since this is firsthand for you. Can you?
Yeah, I can. Well, let me see. I have a sister that I have quite a few battles with, and there was a huge kind of attachment. She was really in need of a lot of my power, more than I ever realized. And it was pulling in the stomach. It was really seriously pulling in the stomach. We pulled that away. That's been fascinating. And with my father, it was all over. It was like he had a huge amount of power that I could not, I could feel it. It was like a pressure underneath which I could never be free to express. Does that make sense?
You could never be free to what?
To really express myself without doubt about whether that was okay. I felt quite squished when he called up his power thing. I felt smaller and squished.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and it surprised me because I didn't think that was so. That's the interesting thing, is you do that exercise and you learn a lot about yourself you don't even realize.
Well, there is, yes, and because we're too close to it, it doesn't matter how, you know, a psychic or, you know, how we can read energies or anything else. If we're involved in it generally, it's very difficult to see it for ourselves. I think.
Because it's something, it's like the fish talking about water. It's something you live in all the time, right?
Right, you're inside the set. And I'm going to talk about a couple of people that I did someone who was having a problem at work, and we knew that there was a projection on her boss from her father. In other words, she had projected her father onto her boss. And so we pulled in her boss, and she could see where her power was getting, and she pulled it back in. And took it out. Interestingly, in this particular case, it was in his hands and different various parts. Second chakra because of the father projection. And she felt so much better afterward, and then they asked her if she would like to do it with anyone else, and she said, well, yes, I want to do it with my father. So when she took it back from her father, well, when we got to the father, there was actually a separate auric field of her energy around the father, and it was up around the upper chakras down to the chest, about to the chest area, and it was a different color, and when she pulled that away and brought it back into herself, he got instantly older, right before our eyes. It was fascinating. And then we did her mother, and interestingly enough, the power was sitting above her head, which is usually an indication of where you would normally give power to a spiritual teacher or an authority of some type. It would sit above their head and down around her feet. When she pulled the power back, literally, not only did her mother go dark, but her whole room went dark.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really stunning, and it was kind of scary. And of course, we always said the intention is not meant to harm anyone; it is merely reclaiming that which you have given away or had taken from you. You know, sometimes in childhood, you know, you are stripped of power, and you know, these are the dynamics that, you know, we're getting in some brand new territory here when we start realizing the subtle ways that power can leave us and go into other people. We can do it. You know, this is where you really want to do a check-in all the time. And so as she pulled all this power back into herself, she felt so huge, so strong. And interestingly enough, I don't want to give too many details here because some people listen, and I don't want to violate anybody's confidence here. But what I'm seeing is that when we do this, there can be an immediate response in the other person's experience. So I will forewarn people of that, okay? Now, interestingly enough, you know, here we go into the projection where this girl had projected her father onto her boss. And...
Mm-hmm.
You know, this gets tricky. So at any rate, I've continued to be in process. So I decided to take some power back today. They really were pushing me, and so I got on the table during my break, and I started with my daughter, and I thought, well, this is going to be really heavy, and it wasn't. It was very simple. Pull my power back, I could see where it was. Then I did kind of the love of my life, the real dramatic relationship. that was easy. And I thought, huh.
I'm good at this.
No, I was just surprised. Then I decided to do my mother. And that was earth-shaking. And then they dropped it in on me that I had been trying to earn my mother's love through my daughter.
Hmm.
And which meant that I had projected my mother onto my daughter and continued the chain of pain with her to try to complete with my mother what I could never complete because she had disowned me, so I had no contact with her whatsoever. So the only way I could ever try to heal that was, and again, we don't realize we do these things. I'm telling this story to all of you, though, to really have you look at your relationships and to see, because you can project father and mother onto a lover and then try to play out that dynamic with, and you can't see your lover or husband, whichever, until you take those projections off. And I wrote this earlier. So was, in my case, okay, was this projection? Probably. The chain of pain? Absolutely. Can I change it? Certainly. And I'm going to read you something from Steve Rother's, one of his channelings, because I think it's very profound.
Life is
Steve Rother in the group. The group said, life is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now, to truly understand and embrace that statement, one must assume a huge amount of responsibility. The truth is that most humans are not generally ready to accept that much responsibility. Instead, they accept the idea that there are outside influences that control the drama of life. I was born with this. This is my destiny. This is what I must deal with. This is not my fault. But if life is truly a self-fulfilling prophecy, which it is, you have choice in every second of every day. Every second of every day provides you with an opportunity to change your life. Not necessarily towards the good or towards the bad, but simply to change. Now, I think that is so empowering. I think basically it goes back to, can we change it? Absolutely. You know, are we stuck with these situations? No. And this is where we must come to a point where we take back our power and our authority and decide to change. It's really that simple. And we can sit in these relationships and stew in them, but the only person we can change is us. We're
that's
not going to be
sure.
able to... Huh?
I said,
I'm sorry,
I didn't
hear you, Veronica.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you fade in and out. I don't know if Bob can fix his...
You set us up all the way. Never mind. We'll keep going.
Okay. Now, we've talked about daughters, and we've talked about our own relationships with different people. And I think that when we weave in and invest in how someone is going to act and behave, we put ourselves in danger of being in a situation where we are not empowered. We can really only be responsible for us. Are you with me on this, Ronnie?
I am, although I'm thinking about the situation that we did for me yesterday when we were working on my taking my power back from one of my siblings.
Right.
And we noticed And we noticed that when we went into the meditation and did the work, that he was very kind of weak and distressed over the exercise. We realized that he actually had a lot of love for me, even though we had a contentious relationship. And he was
right.
It was specifically designed to reject me in such a way as to continue my path, right? That's a very interesting point of view as to why some people are there. So we're not victims. We're making choices from the soul level. And then for me to take my power from that is kind of an interesting thing, isn't it?
Well, in order to take your power from it, you have to take your investment out of it, don't you?
Yeah, that's it. But still, it's pretty fascinating, I think. And it shifted something in me in a way which made me feel almost affectionate about something that has plagued me for about 30 years.
That's good. Well,
that's your
okay.
Shift, right?
You know, I will say this about my mother. I absolutely know that she agreed to take on this role. It is a horrible role. I mean, she had to love me, okay, to agree to come in and play this role
right.
At a soul level.
Mm-hmm.
It was a horrible role to play, and it was a very lonely role for her in lots of ways. So I don't have anger at my mother. Now, what did it do for me? It kept me from getting attached. And I really want to talk about this for a minute because this is very important. Everybody that's listening tonight, you're all star beings. Don't kid yourself for 1 minute, okay? You love deeper. You feel the highs higher and the lows lower. You can get damaged, really damaged. And you can look around at other people and see how they can go through, you know, situations, divorces, this, that, and don't seem to be nearly as damaged as you get. This is one of the reasons that with the family issues, because you all agreed to come in and take on very complex dynamics in families, every one of you. And in most cases, they were highly confusing because so many of you were rejected. Your energy was different. Lots of you had a situation where mom and dad, in some cases mothers and, you know, sisters and brothers, really didn't like you. You were just different.
Pushed you out.
Sorry?
Pushed you out.
Pushed you out, exactly, or pushed you away.
Yeah.
Part of that can be by design so that you don't get hooked in karmically, you don't get hooked in emotionally, so that you could continue on to fulfill the role that you came here to do. But the rejection piece of it is very difficult to integrate, especially when you come from a loving perspective and you don't know why. Why didn't they love? A mother's love is supposed to be there. Mothers are supposed to love their children. Comes with the territory. But for many of you, you didn't feel loved by either mother or father or both, or they weren't available emotionally. And as I look at person after person after person, we're over, I don't know, 3,400 sessions probably in just over 3 years. And we do the lineage, you know, we do mom, dad, grandparents, siblings, and so on. We're looking at health and we're looking at nationality and the emotional component also. We can look at, you know, what was the chain in terms of health, you know, what did a grandparent come from and so on. And so many times I have seen this, you know, different kind of threads that come in of people that feel are distant from brothers and sisters, or estranged from parents, felt no real connection, or felt rejected, or there was some kind of a break. And in some cases, there's a lot of sadness about it. In other cases, it's like they don't understand why. You know, they feel like the odd man out. This is a very difficult one for so many of you to deal with.
Well, I was taught many years ago that there's usually one in every family like that, especially if you're spiritual or metaphysical.
Well, your energy and your frequency is different. It just is, and at a certain level. And also, your genetic makeup is different. You know, there's been a lot of genetic alterations done, and those that are listening to this program, this I know absolutely. You have had genetic alterations. Your frequencies are different. You're a step up. Now, notice I didn't say better than. I just said a step up. Because you've all got big roles on the planet. And whether you think you're doing something significant or not, you are just by being here. You're making a difference by being on the planet, by living your life. You can't not make a difference. It's impossible because of your genetic makeup, your frequency. What everybody is looking for is feedback, a way to see that actually before them. You know, when people say, well, what's my destiny? That's always my favorite one. Mm-hmm. What's my destiny? Your destiny is to follow your greatest joy, to inspire. We're all here to inspire. We inspire everywhere we go with our energy, with our love, with our frequencies. We're activating everything. We're activating the grass, the rocks, the trees, the earth.
And it's in our radiance, right?
It is there, yes. Mm-hmm. You can't not do it. You can't shut it off. You can try, but you can't not do it. And for some people, it's very difficult. You know, I look at my son, and he has difficulty being on the planet. His frequencies are so high, it is very difficult for him to be here. I see it every time I see him. Extraordinary being, but not easy to be here. I see it with a lot of young people also. And, you know, there are some people, I have one wonderful client who is not necessarily out in the world writing books and doing things, but she's helping endangered species cross through the ascension chakra, in essence, taking them through. Helping them through. She actually does this in her spare time. She is
seeing
animals, and you know, and so she does incredible work that no one knows about. This is incredible work. And is that making a difference? You bet. Okay, she knows her whole history, you know, what planet she came in through, and this is an older woman, and she's extraordinary. And, you know, she is constantly raising the frequencies of her chakras, and she's assisting all the time. So there is never a time when you're really, whether you're actively doing it or not, that you're not helping. And, again, I'm going to go back to the fact that we took on very complex family situations that we knew we would heal, and in that healing, it would have a dramatic impact, an exponential impact, not just at the familial level, but literally radiate out over the planet. So, you know, again, in the imbuing, one of our people just wrote a book, and there was so much assistance as she wrote this book, and it, you know, they kept telling her, imbue every word, imbue every page, imbue it with healing. And it's so profound that she sent me one chapter, and I read a couple of pages, and it triggered me into a whole opening of a huge situation. That's how powerful it is. She sent me the cover of the book. She's going to a book fair in the first couple of days in June, and I could never remember the name of the book. he sent me a copy of the actual cover itself, full color, you know, printed it out. It's actually the full cover. And whoever designed it, and I know there was a name, I don't remember, but, and I looked at it, I thought, geez, it's kind of bright. And the minute I looked at the front cover, I went, oh my gosh, they've imbued the front cover as well. And here was the name. I'll never forget it. It's called The Power of the Possible. So, and I can hardly wait till this is actually published so that people can, because it's really powerful. It's really powerful. But, you know,
wonderful.
We can do it in art. I have people painting now, and their art is unbelievable. People are going to start finding, you know, everybody's looking for their destiny, and it's going to show up. You're not going to miss anything. And it's going to happen through your process. That's the interesting part.
Hmm.
Everybody listening tonight is a healer in some way, at some level. That's why we came here. That's why we all came here.
Taking back our power from other people is a great way to get to our source energy or our personal power.
To really, that's really the key, Ronnie, is at this point, I mean, you know, certainly we've been through a lot of process healing, shame, and walking through so much. But you start taking your power back. And this is part of the gift of the shadow. This is what the shadow has been holding for you all this time. You start taking back your power. First of all, you free everyone that you've projected it onto and allow them then to experience their life a different way.
So how do you recommend we do it? Do we just start with family of origin? Do we just pick randomly?
Well, you know, I would sit down and I would make a list of all the people that you've been angry at, all the people that you feel hurt you, your family of origin, your husbands and lovers and wives and girlfriends. Start there. Start with your family of origin. That's where you, you know, this is really the big one.
Mm-hmm.
As you start looking at, you know, if you've had major daddy issues, you better look at your lovers and husbands and see how much of what you've gone through with them is unresolved from dad. That would be a really good clue.
And so how do we do that? We just call up the way our power, that those beings hold our power?
Well, the way we do it in session, and again, this is kind of difficult, is they hold the energy so that you can actually see the power light up on that person. I would say call for a session or begin yourself to start calling in these people and look at them and see if you can see where your power is. Start somewhere, anywhere. Ask your guides to assist you. Ask your team to assist you. And, you know, we really are being guided through all of this. And, I'm firmly convinced that this is one of the very big issues here for all of us. And once you set the intention to get there, I firmly believe that everyone will be guided. And like I said, if you need help, call, have a session, we'll help. It's start taking the layers, and they're going to be layers. I want you to understand that.
So you do your mother 1 week, and you might do her again, right?
Oh, yes. Well, we did somebody this afternoon, and we had done, you know, father, brother, you know, husband, and went back again to revisit it. And there was a lot more visible this time, a lot. And the person was surprised. You know, she was like, wow, I didn't realize there was so much there. And as she pulled it in, she was buzzing with how full of her own power she felt. So, don't try to do them all in one day. You know, this is not a, okay, let's get it done, I'm done kind of thing.
Can we do one now? Can we do one example now, all of us, with the team with us?
well, it's not the same with me versus being in channel. Okay.
But your beings are very much with you right now.
Oh, yes, they are.
Keeping us on track here.
So let's everybody call in one person that they feel is a key person in their experience. And we're going to ask them to surround everybody that's listening in love right now and to assist you to amplify. Call this person up in your mind's eye now with your eyes closed. And we're going to ask to have the power that they are holding, that is yours, not theirs, your power, light up on that person. And allow it to unfold in your mind's eye now. And it may take a moment. It may come in just one piece at a time. It may all be visible. All right, the first place you want to look now is the solar plexus and see if any of your power is sitting in their solar plexus. And if it is, just reach out. Take it and pull it into you. If it feels appropriate to put it in your own solar plexus, do so. If you feel a calling to put it somewhere else, do that. Trust your own guidance here. Now move up to the heart and see if there's a piece there. Now, if you didn't see a piece in the solar plexus, it's okay. Don't feel it's not working. It is. Look up at the heart now. If you could see the energy sitting there, reach out and take it and pull it into wherever it feels appropriate for you. Now look up at the throat chakra. For some of you, you may question why it would be there, but for many of you, you held back things that you wanted to say or weren't able to say them. Or they dominated you with what they said. And now move up to the third eye. For many of you, because of the frequencies that you came in with, much of this energy was taken from you because it's so unique, it's so amazing to other people, whether they did it consciously or not. Take it back now and put it in wherever you feel appropriate. Now let's go down to the second chakra. If you're working with mom or dad, definitely there will be energy there. If it's a lover, energy there. If it's a child, energy there. And reach in and take it out. You don't have to touch the genitalia to do it. And now have them turn around. Look at the first chakra, base of the spine, safety, security, passion. Mom and dad were always supposed to provide safety and security, so were spouses and lovers. If it's there, take it. And place it where it's most appropriate for you. Trust your intuition now. Now, there are two other places here. You may or may not see them. On the back side of the sacral fissure, just above the buttocks crack, and behind the heart on the back. This is a place that places that most people miss. See if there's power sitting in either one of those places. If there is, take it out. You can place it anywhere that you feel you need it. and now move around in front of them again. And pull back. Look above their head. See if there's any energy sitting up above their head. If it is, take it now. And now look at their hands. They may have a ball of energy in their hands of your power. And now look down towards their feet. Oh, and this has come up many times. A ball of energy just below the feet, or around the ankles, or just below the knees. And now pull back and see if there is a separate energy field in closer to the body. It can be any color, but it will light up. You'll recognize it as your energy. If it's there, pull it into you. Suck it in, pull it in, command it in any way you want. And now one more time, move around behind them. Someone had a cord that ran up the spine that connected them. A lighted cord, and if it's there, pull it out. Again, you're doing this with harm to none, reclaiming only your power. For some of you, you may see your power all over them. If you do, call it to you. There may still be pieces. Trust your power and authority. This is your power. It belongs to you. And now thank that person, even if it's been someone that wasn't kind to you. Thank them. Send them your love and your light and watch them now fade. Just fading back. Fading back. Fading back. All right.
So, and the results that happen very often happen from between that other person and you, meaning the other person very often changes at that time, don't they?
Yes, they, yeah, and I, shoot, wait a minute, I'm still, good call, Veronica, they came right in. okay, I have to shift here for a second.
I'm sorry, yeah.
No, it's okay. Yes, the other person is aware. You may get phone calls. You may hear that something, that they are ill or that they've gotten very emotionally upset or that something changed in their life. Please do not take responsibility for this. You are not doing this to cause harm to anyone. And please be certain with your intentions when you do it that you aren't. This is not about harming anyone. It's about reclaiming pieces of yourself. That is the intention here. So that you can do what you came here to do.
And it's likely that some people will also feel empowered, isn't it?
The greatest gift that you can give someone is to take a projection off of them. Ease it up to allow a real relationship to be created. A real relationship.
Part of our becoming authentic and not being part of a collective.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when you've had a family member that has been resentful, or a friend, or whatever, and you really don't understand why the relationship wasn't the way it should be, as what happened with you yesterday, Veronica, where it was a very interesting dynamic where you were able to feel the love and connect at a whole different level with someone that... Yes, exactly. And so it takes seeing out of that, and you then can connect with them on a loving level.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, if you've had an abusive mother, you're going to have other mother figures. You're going to project mom onto other women. Be careful with this, because you'll recognize, because the relationship at some level will become contentious, and you will never totally understand why. When you take the projection off, take your power back, you then allow that relationship to come back full circle. In
a
healthy...
That makes sense. Yeah.
And, you know, I have been doing that for quite some time because I just never thought it would be my daughter as well. So, now, the people pleaser piece is big, and I will incorporate that in the next newsletter as well, because I think it's just a great, it was a great article. And I think this is a very big time for everybody. And, I recognize I do get a lot of emergency little emails that say, geez, could you send the team? I'm really struggling here. My stomach's upset. I feel like I'm popping out of my skin. You know, I have to eat very light. And, you know, I do want to remind people that, yes, it's a tough time. And we are in process of ascension. You can count on that. And so what we do during this time is going to be more powerful than it's ever been before. So bear that in mind. Wherever your intention is right now around healing, processing, you know, write, do whatever you need to do to get to some of this, it's very powerful. And it will have impact. It will have impact.
Wonderful.
And so, Veronica, since we worked with some of the power around some of your family members, have you felt it?
I feel like with my father, for example, I don't think he's listening. I think we're safe. But I feel that he's more into a size I can manage. My perception of him is that he is now a reasonable size, and I'm not worried about or obsessed about, or I don't know, there's just some unhooking I didn't even know I needed to do, you know?
Wonderful.
And there's an affection about my sibling who finds me a pain.
affection. What?
That he finds me a pain in the neck normally, and now I feel quite affectionate about that.
Wonderful.
So taking my power back in a way of changing my attitude to what's been going on, you know. And the rest I really haven't had anything to do with since the exercise.
Well, it's interesting that once you do reclaim your power from it, it also takes the edge off of any contentious situation. You don't find the need to try to resolve it or to fix it, and I would assume also that you're not feeling that sense of, as much of a sense of needing them to love you, are you?
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, but I feel more independent, more on my own track, and more concerned about my own power, getting things done, getting my work done in the world, you know.
Wonderful. That's called freedom.
It's wonderful. It is, isn't it? It's true. It's a real empowerment, authenticating, you know.
Beautiful.
Thanks for that exercise. That was really wonderful.
Well, the tone is set, and you can hopefully tap back into that and try to follow it. It's a a very interesting, with all the varieties that I have seen, with the way that people have identified their power held by other people. It's been a real amazing process for me to see how interestingly it's held. And with some of these young people, you don't realize that when you come in with this very high frequency, parents tend to pick it up and use it and wrap it around them and stuff it places. And, you know, it's not only that you gave it away. In some ways, it was stripped from you. That was why it was very powerful for me with my mother, is that there was a lot of stripping that occurred. And I didn't have my own power. Thank God I had enough. But I didn't have enough of my own power to really survive that. I mean, I did survive it, I misunderstand. But now, you know, now it's much different. And I have, you know, as I told you earlier, Ronnie, you know, my stomach is just going crazy with all of this.
Talk about power issues, right?
Ronnie, we're coming up to the end of the hour. You want to tell them about your radio show, honey, and your website?
Yeah, my radio show is Radiance by Design. We choose our radiance, and it makes a difference in how we manifest. And it's a call-in show Tuesdays at 4 p.m. West Coast time, 7 p.m. at the East Coast. And my website is www.veronicaentwistle.com. And I love to hear from you, and have quite a few emails coming in lately. Thank you. See you
next week. Wonderful. Everyone, have a wonderful, wonderful week. As I always say, a piece of me is in you and a piece of all of you is in me, and it can be no other way. We are all in this together. Veronica, I love you as always. And my website
has been great.
Is ethealing.com. And until next week, have a glorious week. Take back your power, people. Much love. Good night, everyone.
Good night.